is a Bramble Jam podcast. Hi, I'm Bran, and I love Lifetime Christmas movies.
I'm Alonzo, and I secretly prefer Lifetime Christmas movies.
I'm Jax, and I think I might finally be all in on Lifetime Christmas movies.
And this is the Deck the Hallmark podcast. The gang is back together. The people spoke a couple weeks ago, and they said, we need this dynamic trio again of myself, Alonzo, and Jax. And it didn't take long to have enough stuff to talk about to where we could do this again. Of course, we'll be touching on Lifetime and Lifetime Christmas movies for our first look preview of a preview. But also a lot of news to touch on. But first of all, Alonzo, Jax, how are you? I'll start with you, Alonzo.
Excellent. Thank you. My husband has started pulling out the Christmas decorations. I think he's gone up yet. But if you want to keep track, if Instagram ever comes back, we have a separate account called DXAX Tree. And you can every day you'll see like a new thing that's going to be winding up, you know, decorating this apartment.
I can confirm it is a great follow. I can confirm.
Thank you.
Jax?
Can I ask a quick follow-up to Alonzo?
Oh, I'll allow it.
Are you guys a matching PJs at the holidays couple?
No.
Oh, what a visual.
Yeah, no, very much not. My husband is pretty much black t-shirts all the way. And this year I'm very excited because I got the L.L. Bean Black Watch plaid robe to match my Black Watch pajamas. So I'm going to be tone on tone this year. It's going to be very exciting.
Oh my gosh.
Well, I mean, just because it hasn't happened before doesn't mean you guys can't shoot for that this year. I'm just saying.
I'm pretty positive that you'll meet my husband one day and you'll understand why that's probably never going to happen. Not that he doesn't love Christmas, but you know, there is
like just a magic that would come of him and Christmas PJs with his voice. Like there's just a wonderful juxtaposition there. Jax, how are you? Are you well?
I'm doing really well. The only thing that's bumming me out a little bit today is the Reba McEntire t-shirt that I ordered for this podcast has not yet arrived, but I'm still doing Hooray for Rainbows, which I think fits also with another one of my favorite movies coming up in the Lifetime slate this holiday season. But Reba will be here soon.
Reba will be here soon.
You guys so outfested me last time that I like threw on something Christmassy and now and Brand's got a black Bramblefest shirt on. I'm like,
I feel so bad. I came right over from the couch. I was watching the latest Hallmark movie and I finished it and I came right over here and I just didn't even think about it. You know what? I'm gonna ask you a quick question and then I'm gonna run over and I'm gonna put on my sweater. How about that? How about that?
We'll vamp.
I want to know, Jax, because I feel like I know this about Alonzo, but I don't know this about you. What are your thoughts on Christmas decorations? Are you okay with putting some stuff up in your house before Thanksgiving? Because I'm all in on that. I actually have a tree in my room up all year. That should surprise
all
no
year
one.
Long.
Yeah, it's like I don't have a lamp in my room. I just turn on the tree when I need some light. But I am really bummed because amid the middle tier finally like a light went out. So I got to figure that junk. I might just buy a new tree. I don't know. But where are you at on that? And I'm gonna go get a sweater. So here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna unplug my headphones.
Okay, and you'll be able to hear me.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm going to do.
Ready, and I'll make set. Eye contact with Alonzo.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. I am very pro people doing whatever brings them joy, just as long as it's not hurting other people. Sure. I personally love Christmas decorations, but I really love twinkle lights all year round. Now, those are not necessarily always rainbow twinkle lights. They become rainbow twinkle lights at Christmas, but I love having twinkle lights all year round. But I say after last year being in quarantine for so long, I'm all about starting the Christmas ASAP.
Time means nothing.
No, it's exactly. It's meaningless.
In our little downtown of that Greenville, we have nice white lights up in the trees all year round. It's one of the things that made me fall in love with the city.
Nice.
Aww.
I know. Let's talk about the things at hand. This episode is going to come out later this week, but I'm going to pull this next clip, post it on YouTube today because hits, baby.
There you go.
Let's talk about the breaking news at hand. Mm. And boy, is it a doozy. Last week, obviously, the big news about Lori Loughlin going to the GAC for When Hope Calls, the spinoff of When Calls the Heart, which, you know, we'll touch on here. But then the big news today, oh my gosh, Daniel Lissing. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what this looks like. But Daniel Lissing coming back for, I believe, When Hope Calls a Country Christmas, which we can touch on that bad name here in a moment. On the GAC Family Saturday, December 18th. Lissing's role is being kept under wraps for now, seeing as how he's dead. So let's talk about this, our reactions to all of this, because it's big news. Lori, straight from the clink and back into Hope Valley, the way God intended, and then maybe Hope Valley, I don't know. And then Daniel Lissing straight from the grave. I don't know what to make of this. Jax, as somebody who has seen When Calls the Heart, all of it, yes? Oh my gosh!
Most of it.
Most of it?
The seasons you had to talk about.
You know what
I've seen it, yes.
You know what the program is. This is pretty wild news. How do you envision this playing out?
I mean, is he a ghost? Are they flashbacks? Was he actually not dead the whole time, just hiding from the law? Did he not want to be married anymore? There's so many possibilities.
The thing about all of those possibilities.
Yeah, exactly.
The thing with all those possibilities is, what are they going to do about the fact that I'm assuming Aaron Krenko is not going to be a part of this? So what are these flashbacks going to be? If he is a ghost just haunting, like, what's the point? I don't know how they bring him back and do it justice without him, going back to his wife and his baby.
Do you think they're worried about doing it justice?
No, of course not. But I don't know.
Slap an eye patch on him. Jack had an evil twin all this time. And he's here to make trouble for a couple
of husbands. Are you trying to tell me that there's a chance that this is just for ratings?
Oh, perish forbid. I was thinking about this morning. Now, you know, the thing about GAC is we talk about Bill Abbott, of course, having come from, after being, you know, canned from the Hallmark Channel, this other network has sort of brought him in to kind of like do the thing that he does. But the people who have hired him to do the things he does is the Hicks family, who are one of the big investors behind the terrible OANN, or One America News Network, whose basic mission statement is like, we're like Fox News, but worse and more reactionary. And so I kind of feel like these guys are trying to do the same thing of like, they want to make GAC Hallmark Channel, but worse and more reactionary. That's just a hunch. We haven't seen anything from GAC yet, so it's too early to say, but I think that's what we're leaning on. And so I suspect that they're going to make When Hope Calls as much like When Calls the Heart before a person of color with speaking dialogue showed up, you know, and then figure out, and they know that they're clearly trying to attract the Hallmark audience, that the hashtag not my Hallmark audience, the ones that doesn't want to see same-sex couples, that don't want to see interracial couples, all that stuff that's been happening only since Bill Abbott left. And so that audience, and the Venn diagram of those folks, the people who miss Daniel Lissing on When Calls the Heart, and the people who are probably still mad about how the whole Nathan Lucas triangle worked out, is a very tight circle. So,
and the people that can figure out how to add this channel to their,
that's a whole other story. But nonetheless, I mean, it's a savvy move, but it is typical of how this channel doesn't, at the moment, just seems to be wanting to do it Hallmark style, but old Hallmark style rather than try and forge any kind of new paths.
Another thing that I think is interesting, Alonzo, with the OANN is they are one of those networks that has taken the strategic approach of just being everywhere, regardless of if you pay or not. It's on like every platform because it's a, like a freebie. And I wonder if they will try to go in that direction with this network, because it actually has worked in a, people know about this channel because, you know, it's on all these free things. And like,
yeah,
I'm interested to see if they move in that direction, because I actually don't think that's a bad play. I think starting a cable channel in 2021 exactly. a bad play, but starting a channel that's available everywhere and you're just banking on numbers.
Yeah, I've been getting GAC all along on my spectrum. I had no idea until I went looking for it one day. But yeah, clearly they're not hearing anything about a streaming service, which is how most contemporary media is happening now. But you know, Bill Abbott, of course, is the guy who had emails printed out and given to him on paper, so he's not necessarily Mr. Tech. So yeah, they're clearly aiming at the aging, dying cable audience. And so obviously, if that's going to be your demo, you want to be on as many cable systems as you can and get as many eyeballs in front of it as you can.
Well, and what's interesting about that too is even using a black and white headshot of Daniel Listing, because those are coming back. That is what my undergrad acting teacher said. He said, don't get your headshot in color. Black and white headshots are coming back, baby.
It's a classic look.
Yeah, it's a classic look. So it's a classic
look. Yeah. I don't see what the big deal is. The thing is he does look great. In black and white. I'll give him that.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Daniel Lissing is a fine-looking man who can act. I would love to have been a fly on the wall for these discussions about bringing him on board. Furthermore, because I love to investigate, because I'm a snoop, I would love to have been a fly on the wall when he decided to leave When Calls the Heart. Like, I just want to know it all. Yeah.
Yeah, I hope there's a memoir in him one of these days, because clearly there's some stuff that went down, the leaving and the coming back. Those are interesting mm-hmm. stories that we won't know anytime soon, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I will just say this. You know, we can talk about how we disagree with the backing of GAC all we want. But what we can also agree on is they are kicking Hallmark's behind when it comes to publicity. Like every other day, I feel like it is a big, you know, in the our world, big like story about GAC. And what are we hearing from Hallmark? Oh, we have a number and a few movies that we can give you information on, but the rest you'll have to find out later. Like it just is. It feels like GAC is everywhere and Hallmark is like,
well, but here's the thing. I think Hallmark's deal is like, boom, you know, 40, 42, whatever it is, you know, like that in itself is the story. Like we are giving you the quantity. Whereas GAC in the long run, by the time they finish making announcements, they're going to have what, 10, 12 new movies max. And yeah. So it makes sense for them to like every 3 or 4 days be like, oh, now we got this. Oh, and now we got this. And part of it may just be that they're literally, it's all coming together that sporadically. But I think also you're right. They're sort of dropping that occasional chum in the water to let you know, oh, you like, oh, Trevor Donovan, you like Trevor Donovan. We got him now, you know, that sort of thing. So yeah, no, they that is the one angle. This are certainly playing right. As far as you're right to the hardcore fans, most of the world's like, who, what? I don't care. You know?
Yeah. And I mean, if we recorded this yesterday, we'd be talking a lot about Lori, but I mean, now that's not even a big news, but this, felon is coming back to the screen, which it's interesting because, you know, we have had, you know, Erin on the show and she has been outspoken about how she would have loved to have Lori back on When Calls the Heart. And I felt like we were going to have that happen. Like, to me, it made sense. Like, you know, give it a little time. People will forget, whatever.
Yeah. Michelle Vickery's social media was always very pro Lori too. Mm-hmm. And yes. she is not at GAC, but while she was at Hallmark, I think she was very much kind of keeping that flame alive.
So I don't think, I just didn't see this coming, shaking out the way that it did. Did you think that she would eventually come back? Because from everything I heard, it felt like, you know, everyone wanted it, that mattered to the show.
Yeah. I always felt like they were giving creatively in a really well done way, frankly, enough space for it to happen, but also not promising or pigeonholing themselves that it would have to happen. Lori was never someone that I met personally or interviewed, but so I have no personal connection to her. But the people that I do trust and do respect and do a personal connection to have continued to maintain, you know, really great friendships with her. Is it okay if I give a quick hot take on how I feel about Lori and the situation?
Please.
No, we actually don't do hot takes here.
Scalding hot.
Only when Panda's here. Yes.
Only. Oh, I love Panda. And I love his candles, his family's candles.
Oh, yeah.
Panda Lily Candle Company. I just want to do a quick plug for them. Anyway, not that I need to, just saying they're great. I thought a lot about this, and I think Lori Loughlin is a very gifted actress. She does seem to maintain really true and wonderful friendships with people. Everyone that I've interacted with says she's lovely. She brings a lot of joy to people. There's lots of reasons why I think forgiveness is important, and I think women are judged very harshly as compared to men for things that they have done. So if we're looking at Lori as just Lori and not thinking about what this means in the larger context of the world, I would love to see her act again. I think she's probably ultimately a good person, whatever that means. I'm open to seeing her make more art. But what I do think is important, and I hope that she will acknowledge someday, and I hope that this discussion will continue to be had, is I think when this scandal broke, it resonated with so many people because it's very easy to get mad at one person and pinpoint one person. Yes. And that's also valid. But I think what we see with that college admission scandal is the fact that there's a socioeconomic crisis of the haves and have-nots and everywhere in between. And when you have access to a lot of power and privilege, whether that's from wealth and white privilege and connections, and not only are you so ahead in the game with all of that through hard work, luck, the way our society is set up, but you do something else to take advantage of that, I think that is really upsetting for a lot of people. And it's not a victimless crime. However, I think that someone who I truly believe, even though I do not know her, is as kind-hearted as what I believe and hope Lori Loughlin to be, I think she can use her platform to hopefully bring about some systemic change. And I hope that she will do that. And I hope the conversation becomes bigger than her and bigger than the scandal that rolled out from it. So sorry, I know that was like a TED talk, but I just need to
say that's great. There are fund managers out there who've done far worse, but they're not on TV and will never know their names. So she, yes, I mean, I'm not in any way defending what she did, but I think that because of her celebrity, it was very, and because she's a woman, I think you're right. Also, it became very easy to scapegoat her for a much larger problem that she's just a cog in. What if Abigail's also dead and she and Jack are both ghosts?
Yeah.
Wait, who's taking care of her son then? Is he orphaned again?
Cody's a ghost. No.
Cody's also a ghost.
Well, who's taking care of Cody now? Because she's been gone, right? I'm not watching the show now, so I don't know what's going on.
Cody hasn't been on the show.
That's kind of the worst part of this. It is not a victimless crime because Cody Am I right, everybody? Cody.
Well, and anybody who was hoping there were going to be more garage sale mysteries, I'm sure also was not thrilled about this.
It'll be interesting to see who owns the right to those suckers, won't it? Well, I guess we'll find out fairly soon. I'll just say this. I always expected she'd fall back on rowing, and...
That's the daughter's skill.
But where did she learn it from? Where did she learn it from?
I just and assumed, now she's dancing with the stars, yeah. So... Mm-hmm.
And crushing it, I hear. I don't know. I don't
know. Gotta build up that college fund.
Yes, it's not gonna pay for itself. Boy, what a time. Let's touch on this really quickly before we dive into the Lifetime schedule and the movies we're excited about. They are doing a new thing here at Lifetime, which I find to be incredibly fascinating. They're still putting out 35 movies, which is impressive, but they are starting in mid-November, which some might say makes more sense. I would say just, you know, maybe shut your mouth. But then they are starting the week after Thanksgiving with a movie every day through Christmas.
Bold.
It's a very interesting approach. I'm very intrigued by how this is going to play out. Jax, Alonzo, what are your thoughts on that campaign? And do you foresee it being successful for them?
I think it's interesting from a viewer's perspective because it's easy to remember. And I'll know that no matter what, I can pop on my TV and watch a new Lifetime movie each night. From an actor's perspective, if I had filmed a movie for them, I would be like, oh, I don't know if I want my movie to be on that night. I don't know what nights get good ratings because has never been a part of anything in my skill set. But I would be like, oh, darn, I'm on maybe Tuesday's good. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So,
but you can say the same thing about airing on a Saturday night at 10 p.m., like the Movies and Mysteries movies. Like you work hard and then, hey, it's going to go until midnight on the East Coast. Good luck.
And the West Coast.
That's right.
Unless you're watching on like, you know, Philo or some kind of service like that, or via the actual channel app, like everything here starts at 8 and 9 too. So
good. I'm sick of you guys getting all the good times,
all the perks. Yeah. I mean, you're right. I think that would be kind of tricky for some folks, but I do think, yeah, it's going to be a very easy fallback, I think, throughout the season, because again, we have to talk about the way that people watch these movies. I think, yes, there is an audience that is actively tuned in and really wants to see them, but I think there's a substantial audience that just has them on as wallpaper, you know, like they're entertaining, they're having dinner, they're wrapping gifts, they're addressing cards, whatever. And they just want to look up at the screen and every so often see like a lot of tinsel or people making cookies or whatever. And so, yeah, I think it just having it on every night makes it kind of an automatic destination. You know, you just leave it, you leave the channel there when you turn the TV off and it's there when you turn it back on again. So I think it's shrewd. And I think it's, you know, given the fact that they, unlike Hallmark, they don't do like a weekly Christmas movie throughout the year. They are clearly being like, we got December, like not just weekends in December. We got all of December.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think that it is very kind of them to test this out for the rest of these players, because I imagine a Hallmark is going to be watching closely and they'll be like, you're telling me we can have a new movie every night and people will watch. That's exciting. So it's very nice of them to try it out. I think that it's going to be great. I think Lifetime is very interesting, and I'm hoping to have somebody from Lifetime on in the next couple of weeks to talk about this, because what they have is very interesting in that the rest of the year it's cheerleaders killing people, and then it is very. We're switching, like, and they were doing the same switches as Hallmark was in October. And I imagine if I'm a Lifetime fan, that's annoying. Like, if I'm somebody who is very much into seeing like people kill each other, which, you know, I have my moments, like that would be frustrating. I don't want this. And so I think it's actually a good play for their fan base to start in mid-November. And it's still a way for them to, you know, get have their numbers up, seem like they're still competing heavily with Hallmark. I think it's a win for them.
Yeah, I've been lucky enough that I've been killed and have been I've been killed and killed on Lifetime. I would love if they would hire me for a Christmas movie.
My gosh, congratulations. I didn't know that.
I was killed on Red Rum, and I killed on How I Killed My BFF. But
how
then
did
I
you
joined
kill your BFF?
I did. How did I do it?
Yeah.
Oh, I was mad because I was vegan and she wasn't.
Well, and if that's not a reason to kill someone, I don't know what is.
But then I joined the union and that work dried up. So Lifetime, I'm available if you want to make a movie with me still. Maybe I should call Melissa Joan Hart. I don't have her number, but
she's clearly the driver of a lot of things over there. No, but I mean, let's remember a couple of years ago, I think Lifetime tried to match Hallmark at the whole October thing, even starting early. And then Hallmark had to start early and they had to like push back a crossword mystery and everything because it was like, it was on, you know. And now they're like, all right, fine. You want the weekend before Halloween? All yours, Hallmark. We're going to take our time and get there and we're going to save our push for the actual, you know, Christmas month. And then we're going to be like every night while you're doing reruns on Thursdays, you know.
Oh, Alonzo, I remember that time. I remember like Lacey Chabert, who I think is extremely talented and sweet, and I love crossword mysteries, that movie getting pulled. And I remember her just being like, oh, okay, yeah, that's fine. I mean, just she's like getting ready to do press for it. Everyone's excited. And just, what a kind-hearted, amazing, talented human being. But yeah, I remember when that was happening, and all of a sudden everything's getting pulled and thrown around and tinsel's flying and – yeah.
I'm going to go out on a limb there and say they did not run that past Lacey and Brennan. They found out like the rest of us.
Exactly.
Oh, it's in January now. Oh, okay.
Okay.
Because why wouldn't you? It's mid-October. It's Christmas. It's not no time for mysteries and murders. Let's take a quick break, and then we'll come back, and we'll each talk about the movie we're most looking forward to in Lifetime, the movie we're not as looking forward to. And, oh, I have one more thing. This is going to go back in time, but I have a tweet from Hallmark that I wanted to talk about. So maybe we'll talk about that. I don't know. We'll be right back here at Hallmark. Oh, what a great break that was. Am I right, everybody? Boy, oh boy. I needed a break because it was getting really hot. Like the hot takes were just steaming and it was nice to just take a breather. Let's talk Lifetime. Let's talk about what they're up to and the movies that we are looking forward to. And for those of you that haven't heard, our good friend Patrick from Lifetime Uncorked once a week will be joining us to review a movie. We're very excited about that. And we will be doing some preview episodes with Patrick about Lifetime. So more details to come about these movies. But at first glance, Jax, I'll start with you. Which movie is kind of sticking out to you from the Lifetime slate?
So it's hard to do a first glance. Well, it's hard for me to pick just one. But I got to say, we all know I'm excited about the Reba one, so I won't talk about that again. But I want to talk about – hold on one second. I have my schedule here.
You didn't go.
I am very excited about, sorry, hold please. I had it all. Okay, so obviously, Reba McEntire's Christmas in Tune, we know that. I am excited about Miracle in Motor City because I feel like it is like if we're talking about the Hallmark Lifetime thing, it's like, cool. Well, we have a Maori sister and Paul Campbell on Hallmark. We'll take that. We will raise you the other twin. And also, by the way, we're going to give you Mark Taylor, Smokey Robinson, and Kiana Teresa from Good Witch. I mean, I think that one's going to be pretty gosh darn good. And then also, I got to say, I am very excited because I love her. I want to make sure I get this title right. Elise Bowman, who was also on Good Witch. Hold on, guys. Does anyone know the title of this movie? Oh, yes. Okay. So here they are. Mistletoe, Montana. Excited about Melissa Joan Hart.
Of course.
Dwayne Henry. That's going to be great. toying with the holidays because I'm a Busby and she's on with Chad Michael Murray. Everyone's going to watch that. Mm-mm. And then Under the Christmas Tree with Elise Bowman, Tatiana Jones, and Ricky Lake. I'm excited that I'm going to get to see some, you know, real representation here of two women falling in love. I know Elise Bowman, while her character on Good Witch didn't have a romance with another woman, she was very clear about the fact that she, and she tweeted about this when all this went down, that she didn't want to queer bait fans of the show. And she's really wonderful about true representation as a member of the community. So I'm excited to see what this movie does. So thank you, Lifetime, for putting some really good things in the slate this year.
Alonzo?
Yeah, no, I too am very psyched about Under the Christmas Tree. You know, the Christmas setup last year was my favorite of all of the mm-hmm. of all the Christmas movies across the channels, and it was part of a real wave we saw last year of same sex couples, you know, being featured in holiday content from, you know, obviously Happiest Season on Hulu and Dashing in December on Paramount Plus, and even in, you know, on Hallmark we got The Christmas House, which, you know, they were a B storyline, but they were in there and they, you know, got a kiss and everything. And so the hope was maybe, okay, that's going to be the sort of, you know, priming the pump for this year. And then Hallmark this year is giving us Christmas House 2. But that's it. Like, you know, that, so as far as that goes, another thing,
Christmas House 2, we're still kissing and we have a kid this time.
This is all we got. Yeah, exactly. The now we're dads. I'm wearing my Christmas on the Ranch hat today. This is a movie that an indie company called Tello Films is putting out. They did a couple years ago. They had a lesbian Christmas movie called A Season of Love. Last year they had I Hate the lesbian rom-com I Hate New Year's. And this year we get Christmas on the Ranch, which co-stars Lindsay Wagner, who for me is the Bionic Woman and for y'all is the mean mom in Mingle All the Way. But anyway, but there's a handful of other Hallmark, or sorry, Lifetime titles I'm looking forward to. Holiday in Santa Fe. I am not the biggest Mario Lopez fan in the world, but this movie was written by Cristela Alonso, a very talented stand-up comic, star of the first Latina with her own sitcom on ABC, a voice in Cars 3. She does it all. So I'm very psyched that she is getting into the Christmas movie game, and I'm very psyched to see how that's going to be. We got two movies with Jake Epstein, who was always one of my favorite Degrassi dudes, and Brand, we saw him in Mistletoe and Menorahs on that we did for What the Hallmark this year. So he's got two movies. I think one that aired in Canada last year that Lifetime is now repurposing, and then one new one. So that's awesome. And oh golly, what else? One of the Jake Epstein movies being Candy Cane Candidate with Jackie Lay. So that's mm-hmm. going to be awesome, I think. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I think just it looks like a kind of good mix of the kind of stuff that they do. You know, you got a Hailey Duff in there. You've got mm-hmm. a Marie Osmond in there. You know, like this is the old gang getting back together for another Lifetime holiday.
I'll just say this, guys. We're all in this together. And that brings me to the one I'm most excited. I'm a simple man. I am not ashamed to say that I love High School Musical and High School Musical 2. I've not seen the third one because, I mean, it felt weird at the time to go to the theaters to see that.
I had to review that one.
Well, you did?
I wish I knew you. I would have gone with you and had no problem. A Christmas Dance Reunion. Corbin yes. Blue, who was in what was the name of the movie earlier this year?
The Love for Real.
Yep, Love for Real. And I had kind of forgot that Corbin Blue existed, and I was watching Love for Real, and I was like, "What? This guy? I like Corbin Blue, and he's back together with Monique Coleman, and I'm excited about it. I'm not usually one of these people that care about reunions. Like, it doesn't do a ton for me. But you know what? I remember them dancing in High School Musical, and it was okay. And so I'm excited to see how things shake up this year. And I'm also just intrigued by Kirk Franklin's A Gospel Christmas, just to see how much Kirk Franklin shows up and just kind of yells. So I think it's going to be a lot of fun all around. Let's talk about what we're not as excited about. Did anything on this list stick out to you, Jax, as movies that you're like, you know what? I don't know.
So honestly, no. And that this is going to sound like either more insulting or less insulting than it should. I generally think the production quality is a little bit lower on Lifetime movies than I wish it was, or than we've seen as compared to Hallmark or, of course, Netflix. That doesn't necessarily mean acting or writing all the time. That means, you know, they work. I think they spend a little bit less money on their movies, and, you know, they don't always work with as many union actors as I wish they would. So, yeah, I'm generally the ones that I'm not as excited about are just kind of a general wash of not as much excitement. Not one that sticks out as being like, bleh. You know?
That's yeah, I think it's fair to say that the best Lifetime movies are right up there with the best Hallmark movies, but the worst Lifetime movies are much worse than the worst Hallmark movies. That's
the best, yes.
Like, there's a handful of films that they really put some resources in, and then ones that are just like, we got this for a song, and it'll fill one of those Wednesdays in December, you know. If there's one in here that kind of leapt out at me is like, this feels like we've seen it a million times and isn't going to bring anything special to the table. And again, haven't seen these. There's always the possibility for surprise. I would go with Match Made in Mistletoe. That just seems like, okay. We're doing this, you know.
What is that one?
Damon Runyon is in it. And every time I hear his name, I think of Guys and Dolls. But, you know, it just, yeah, I don't know. I was looking at them and all of them, like, there's either some cool casting or there is, like, a plot that sounds like we haven't seen it a million times. And then I just got to that one. I was like, nope, this is, like, straight down the middle, the thing that it is. But, you know, who knows? Again, haven't seen a frame of it, so like it could wind up blowing me away.
But just to push back on that for a second, when you think of Guys and Dolls, do you automatically get happy? Because I do.
Well, yeah, but I would prefer that Damon Runyon to the acting one.
Agreed.
I'm in a tricky place because I find myself being intrigued by this, but also annoyed at what they've done. And it's Blending Christmas with Hayley Duff. Aaron O'Connell, who I don't dislike. Aaron O'Connell is kind of just like, you see him and you're like, I know that face, but he does nothing to like make you remember that he exists, if that makes sense. And Hayley Duff's a Lifetime staple, of course. But I just don't care about the Brady Bunch.
Okay, and you just need to back up.
Hold on, Alonso. Will you let me? I didn't interrupt you with your guy dolls. Yeah, but
for all the grief I get for not having grown up with Sister and Family Matters and stuff, you are treading on thin ice with me if you're going to start bad.
What I want you to know is that I like the Brady Bunch. I've seen a good bit of the Brady Bunch. What I don't like is how much their reunion things they are doing nowadays. There was the whole thing on HGTV that I felt like I saw a commercial for every second of every day. And it just seems like a lot. And I, at this point, I'm just kind of like, you did it. You did the little reunion thing. I don't need it again. So if it was just Hayley Duff and Aaron O'Connell, I'd be like, I'm in on this. This sounds lovely. It's this whole thing. I just don't know.
Here's what I like about the Brady Bunch reunion here. Eve Plum, as she frequently does, was like, yeah, pass. No thanks. Not interested. And so there is a legacy, of course, of fake Jans. You know, they hired this this singer named Jerry Reichel to be fake Jan on the Brady Variety Hour. There have been various projects where they had to have a fill-in. The current fake Jan is Jennifer Elise Cox, who was the Brady Bunch movie Jan. So I like that she's sort of now kind of canonically becoming an actual Brady in that way.
That's so great, Alonzo. I love it when you get.
Do you not love the Brady Bunch reunion? When wasn't it that Michael got? Oh, sorry, my phone.
Jags, I know you don't do this full time anymore. I know you're not a podcaster, but she's Louise. Like, it's rule number one.
She never pulled that stunt with the Hallmark Channel.
No kidding. No,
I wouldn't. I mean, I'm so sorry, Bran. Alonzo, okay. forgive me.
You're forgiven.
So you remember, or was this a fever dream? There was a Brady Bunch reunion where Mike was like caught in a coal mine.
I think that it's a it was a collapse at a construction site. I think it was very Brady Christmas.
Okay,
which is notable for having a fake Cindy.
Yes. So I probably, because I grew up in the coal region, I was thinking he was caught in a coal mine, but you're right.
California doesn't tend to have a lot of coal mines, as far as I know. So,
so it was with the Bradys, you know,
that's why it was big news.
You guys, A, we have a coal mine, and B, Mike Brady is trapped in it somehow.
You won't believe it. You won't believe it. So yes, Lifetime getting started on, what is it, November 12th? Is that the correct date? Yes, November 12th. With an ice wine Christmas, which, yes.
Isn't that one of those ones they've been promising for a couple years now?
Well, what's interesting is, who is it? Is it Brendan Elliott? He's going to be in Ice Wine winter movie for Hallmark in
January.
That's
right. That's the rival Ice Wine.
There's a lot of, okay. And so Lifetime said, you know what? You can have your October, but we raise you Ice Wine.
They know their audience.
They sure do. They sure do. Ain't no audience like an Ice Wine Lifetime audience. One of the same. All right. Really quickly. I wouldn't be a good journalist if I didn't. Why do you laugh at me being a journalist? The nerve of this guy. If I didn't bring up this tweet from Hallmark, going back to Lori.
Oh, Lachlan, yeah.
And boy, is it spicy. And I don't know who Hallmark proper is letting run their Twitter nowadays, but I'm happy they are.
Brent, why don't you read it for anybody who's listening to this as a podcast?
Hi, Knights, which at first I thought, what an interesting salutation. But it's like the last name of this person, I guess.
Yeah, I thought it was like Hardee's or Chessie's. It was a new category I didn't know about, but it's
not. Same.
No, yes. Hi, Knights. Knights of the lock. I don't know. Hi, Knights. Hallmark Channel has not cast Lori Loughlin in any current projects, nor do we have any plans to cast her in the future. She was cast by GAC Family, a wholly separate cable network, not affiliated with Hallmark Channel or Crown Media Family Networks. But shout out to GAC anyways.
That tweet was just such a like wiping of the hands, like nope, not us, not us.
This is the interesting thing about this is I don't really know what to make of this tweet, because I feel like whoever sent that was like sent, and like I showed them, but like, you know, now if this person was somehow out of the loop, they know they can go on over to GAC. Thanks for the publicity. It's an interesting move.
Yeah, Bran, I imagined the team who's like working on the tweet, and like everyone's sort of like, oh, which I say,
guys,
like typing
quite
it
around.
In. Fired up, gathered out.
The Knights have tweeted.
And then all of a sudden, like they've already fired it off, thinking they're being spicy, and they're like, oh, but you wait, just before you send it off, you didn't name GAC Family. You just said another network, right? And they were like, I shouldn't have said GAC Family.
She was hired by GAC Family, which is run by Bill Abbott, who used to run Hallmark Channel.
So
but there was a situation that went down.
Here's the thing: I think naming the network is a flex of like, yeah, we'll mention them. We're not afraid of them.
Okay.
We don't see them as a threat. It gives them the way to be like, here's this other network which is not affiliated with any of our companies. Like, so it's a very clear delineation of like those guys, them over there, who we are naming, who are not us. And may I tell you again that we are not them, and they are not us, and we are not them, and they are not us.
It is very like I at first I was like, that's a weird thing to do, But I have come around to being like, you know what? It shows how clear they want to be.
Yeah. That name they them,
are,
shame them.
That they are not the same.
Exactly.
Which, you know, kudos to them, I guess. We'll see how it all shakes out. I imagine by the time this whole episode comes out, there's going to be some sort of press release about how Aaron Krenko burned down Hope Valley and is going to GAC or something. I don't know.
Maybe they'll hire Jewel and like start doing those contractor mysteries again.
Oh, man. Yeah. Bring Jewel back. Let's get that trending.
They're going to have the two. Who are those cartoon dogs that used to have specials on Hallmark? It's like
Jingle and Jangle? No.
Jingle and Bell?
Maybe.
Something like that.
I actually quite enjoyed it.
Those are cute. Yeah. Yes. But Bill Abbott's going to grab those up too just because he can. I don't know.
And he doesn't even want it. I just want to put this on the record. Will, in the next 3 years, will any of the following three Hallmark queens go to GAC? Candace, Lacey, Danica.
I think Candace is too enmeshed in Hallmark in general. Like she has a line that's in the store of her, you know, feel good, Christian light, you know, home accessory stuff. So I don't think she's going anywhere. I think as a businesswoman, like she's made her bed and is not going to leave that for a network that does not have a retail outlet attached to it. The other two, anybody's guess.
Jax. See, this is why we do this. This is the hard-hitting stuff.
If I was a betting woman.
Are you?
Which I have been to a few casinos, and my dad's nickname was Maverick, and he played for the house in our hometown and made some money. So betting is in my family.
Okay.
I will say that I do think within the next 3 years, point of clarification, is this a permanent move or it's that one of their projects ends up on GAC?
I don't think that the latter is possible without permanent cutting of ties.
I think something, okay, I think Danica is going to end up on GAC.
Wow, she put a name to it.
Okay,
too.
All right.
Gosh.
You heard it here first.
The Hallmark Channel's Bubbly Sesh has said this
I'm no longer affiliated with Hallmark Channel or the Bubbly Sesh.
Oh, wow. What?
Oh, wait.
Just Jax, baby.
You're just Jax.
Just Jax is pretty. She's written it down on a slip of paper and put it in a sealed envelope and put it in a mayonnaise jar. Check it later. See if she's right.
I'm very excited. Check back with us. We will circle back to this. I don't know. Maybe next month. Who can tell?
Wait, what do you think, Bran? Are you telling us?
Yeah.
Yes, I do. And I'm going to say, if there was one, you know what? I'm going to go with two of the three. I'm going to go with Lacey and Danica. I think they're both going to go there. I think that's what's going to happen. I said what I said, and I'm not a betting man. No, when I bet, bad things happen.
One of the few things that I know, or that I've heard on more than one occasion from people who do know, is that the three of them were very much Bill's favorites. So if that's a relationship that they've built with him personally, I could see where the temptation would exist to follow him over there again, but not for CCB, just because I think that that Hallmark has made a nice nest for her to hawk her wares, and she's not going to want to give that up.
I agree with that. I think if there was anybody that was going to do that, it was going to be Netflix, seeing as how she had the relationship with Fuller House.
Oh,
and
right.
They have, I don't know, the money. And she didn't. So if ever there was going to be a situation, it would have made sense for her to do Christmas movies while Fuller House was in its prime.
True.
So, and she didn't. Guys, we did it. This was so much fun. We'll be back. I think this is a thing. This is a thing we're doing, and I like this thing.
Dan, please listen to these.
Oh yes, Dan. If you made it this far,
What should he text you?
Which I do want to say, I have yet to receive a peanut butter text. So that's important. And this is a few weeks later. Text me, Santa's got a brand new bag. Santa's got a brand new bag. Let's do that. I like that. Guys, so great to see you. Until next time, may the three of us be the first to wish you a Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Deck the Hallmark is a Bramble Jam podcast recorded live in, yeah, that Greenville, South Carolina, is produced by Brandon Gray, set decor by Plum Haywood Mall. For more information on all Bramble Jam podcasts, you can go to BrambleJamPodcast.com. For more information on how to listen to Deck the Hallmark ad-free, you can go to BrambleJamPlus.com.
You're about to hear some ads that help keep the lights on here at the studio. Feel free to listen. Feel free to turn it off, whatever you want to. But either way, thanks so much for your support.